Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful privilege which is ours to worship you and now to proclaim your word. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy as a nation. And we do not take that freedom for granted. It is because of the sacrifice of men and women who've made our ability to worship you according to the dictates of our conscience very real today. We can worship you as we desire. We thank you for that privilege, and we thank you for the sacrifices made. Bless us now. Bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen. If we have anyone here who is a sports buff, you will be able to finish this sentence. The Fighting Irish of... I knew someone would know that. I was surprised at how much fighting was a part of our everyday vocabulary. Fight song. Fighting chants, fighting words, street fighting, fighting back, fighting crime, fighting terrorism, fighting poverty and racism and hunger, fighting cancer and fighting fair. And even the foundation for the fighting of blindness is the way it's titled. There is a gospel movie entitled The Fighting Temptations. And I know you've never heard the song Kung Fu Fighting. And for those who are military minded, how about the Air Force's fastest plane, the F-16 Fighting Falcon? For Star Wars fans, and I read this, fighting 501st Legion of Stormtroopers. Fighting. But you say, what has fighting to do with the Christian? I'm a Christian. My family, we know nothing about fighting. Well, I beg to differ. Fighting is a part of what we do in our society. As I was reading the Bureau of Justice Statistics as they surveyed school crime and safety, this is what I found. 46% of males who attend school will eventually have a physical fight in school. 23% of young ladies will have a physical fight in school. And the lower grades fight more than the upper grades. Aren't you glad for mustard seed, our school here? Amen. That's our home school here. An EAA. Fighting. It's a part of our society. And I was reading and went online to look up something on bullying, because that's really big now. And I found out that 1 out of 4 kids is bullied. It said that 1 out of 5 kids admit to being a bully. 100,000 students carry a gun to school. We have a problem. 1/3 of students surveyed said that they'd heard another student threaten to kill someone. 2 out of 3 say that they know how to make a bomb, or they know where to get the information to do it. 1 out of 2 say that they know another student, listen to this, who is capable of murder. And on the playground, every 7 minutes, a child is bullied. You say, well, that still doesn't convince me. I know nothing about fighting. You know, there's a new kind of fighting going on today. It's called cyberbullying. They bully you online. the big thing today. They send humiliating and threatening messages and images through the computers or the cell phones. Bullying. Still, you say it has nothing to do with me. Fighting, that's not a part of who I am. I would say that fighting is a part of our fabric. And in fact, if you think fighting has nothing to do with you, have you been to the post office lately? Have you picked up one of these? Do you know what I'm holding? Let me see your hands if you know what I'm holding. This is for men 18 to 25. In fact, when you reach 18, you have to fill out a selective service card. In fact, I'd like to read what it has to say. Registering with Selective Service does not mean you're joining the military. The fact that a man registers does not mean that he'll be drafted. No one has been drafted since 1973. No one can be drafted in the military unless ordered by Congress and the President. A draft would most likely occur only in the event of war or national emergency. And if you do not fill this out, you will have a $250,000 fine or imprisonment for up to 5 years or both. If you have a son or a grandson, 18, make sure that they sign up. Are you with me? You have something to do with fighting. It's a part of our fabric. And so maybe, it does have something to do with us. In fact, the first fight, guess where the first fight took place? In heaven. Exactly right. War in heaven in Revelation chapter 12. I know you know that very well. Say, I'm still not convinced that it has anything to do with me, but I say, yes, it does. And so maybe the title of my sermon is not so strange. Teach our children to fight. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something that happens occasionally. I'm going to ask you to stay with me and pay close attention. Because sometimes I'm saying one thing and you're thinking another. Amen? And I have sermons like that every now and then. This is one of them. You'll have to pay close attention and I'll probably get 50 different reactions at the door. Stay with me, because sometimes I'm saying one thing and there's something deeper in the message. Are you with me? Oh, that was a real week. Are you with me? Are you with me? Oh, okay, now I know you're with me. Got to stay with me for this one. Teach our children to fight. I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of St. Matthew, and the 11th chapter. And one of the most unusual passages in the scripture, I'm not going to exegete it because there's probably 50 different ideas on what the passage really means. Time will not permit for me to do a proper exegesis, so I'm just going to be very topical. I want you to know that ahead of time. That's where I am. That's where I'm going. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. And I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. And then read it from a more modern version and see what you think. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John. That's in verse 7. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. What a passage. What a passage. Another version says, from the time John preached his message until the very day, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violent attacks and violent men try to seize it. Now, let me ask you this. How do you think the evil one, the devil attacks the church or God's kingdom? Do you think he comes easy? You think he comes in smooth? Or by chance, does he storm it? Does he attack it violently? According to this passage, he attacks it violently. And that's why the title, it sounds confusing, but I believe it's very meaningful. Maybe we should know how to fight. Since the enemy attacks violently the church, maybe we ought to know how to fight. So we ought to first teach our children to fight. I knew I wasn't going to get many amens on this one, but that's okay. You know what I found out as I was reading about bullies? Bullies always attack loners or those who do not have a lot of friends. That's what bullies do. Bullies always look at children to see how they carry themselves. They look at how children carry themselves. Bullies like to pick on children who appear to be different. And they say, girls, you know, girls are into bullying. Girls pick on other girls who don't have their hair styled in a certain way or don't wear the right clothes. That's how girls operate. Bullies. And bullies cause the victim to think that there's something wrong with them. Because what they're trying to do is shatter self-esteem. Bullies usually like the effect they get when they shock or when they hurt someone. I hope you're listening. Maybe I'm not talking about children and bullies. Maybe as a hint to how the devil operates. And so when you see someone bullying, do not laugh. It's not funny. Do not laugh it off. That just gives them ammunition to continue doing it. How can we help as parents? How can we help when our children are bullied? Kids need to know that they can trust you as a parent. That they can come to you when there's something going wrong in their lives, that they can come to you and that you'll help them. Can you say amen? They need to know that. And you need to help your children. You need to help them with social skills. You need to help your children walk with their heads up, their shoulders erect, with confidence. You need to make sure that your children are not afraid to look people in the eye. Bullies, you know, they pick that up. And let me tell you something. You are not doing your kids any favors when you dress them up in 19th century clothes. Did you hear what I said? You're guaranteed that they're going to be bullied unless you're homeschooling them. Did you hear what I said? I know I wasn't going to get many amens today, but it's the truth anyhow. You're out to, let me tell you, we need to teach our children to fight. You know there are some things worth fighting for, and I'm going to tell you what they are. First of all, we need to teach our children to fight for their families. What did I say? Fight for their family. Do you know that's something worth fighting for? You need to teach that to your children. So when you go out of town, when you have taught your children that the home is worth protecting, thing worth fighting for. When you leave town, you don't have to worry that a party's been going on in your house. Amen? And that they're tearing up your house because you've told them, this is our house. You don't treat our house this way. You got to teach that to them. Teach them to fight for the family. Not only do you have to teach them to fight for the family, but you have to teach them to fight for faith. What did I say, everybody? Fight for faith. For the family and then faith. Faith is what you believe. You don't have anybody make fun of your church, the church that you go to, the church that's changed your life. Amen? Who likes somebody to make fun of their church? And I know you're not going around making fun of other people's church. Amen? I know you're not doing that. Fight for your faith. It's worth fighting for. I'm so thankful that God put me in this church. Amen? I want this church to be all it can be. Teach your children to fight for their faith. And you know that doesn't stop just at the church. It means belief. You know, faith means belief. They need to fight for what they believe. Not only should we fight for our family and fight for our faith, and I'm happy to fight for our family and fight for our faith, and we fight for our family. You know, when you're fighting for your family, you know, Scott Peterson was a rascal. And I'm putting it mildly. But you know, his mother was there in court with him, fighting for him. Family. Fighting for faith. Noah took his whole family into the ark. Amen? Fighting for faith. And we ought to fight for righteousness. Did you hear what I said? Fight for righteousness. Fight for righteousness. We need to teach our children to fight against child abuse. Amen? You need to teach your children at home when a pervert comes at them that they ought to turn them into the law. You have to teach that to them. Fight for child abuse. Fight against drug addiction. Fight against crime. Fight against hunger. Fight against white collar ripoff. Fight for things. Fight for health care. And I'm going to take a moment and stop right here. I am so grateful for those who fight for us. Our military, our police officers, our public safety people, our firemen, and those who work in our border patrol, and you probably can name a few more. Do you know that they fight, they do for us? We're here because somewhere along the line, their family taught them to fight for something. And so I want to take just a moment to honor those who are either serving or have served in the military, in public safety, in law enforcement, in border patrol, some form. You know who I'm talking about. I want you to stand right now. We need to give you a round of applause. Well, I'm here preaching because of you. Stand up. Come on now. Don't be afraid. I want your children to see you. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Thank you. Give them a round of applause. Thank you. 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 Yeah, I can preach like this because of what you do. Thank you. I would have had us wear our uniform today, but I didn't tell everybody in time. So that's why I didn't do that today. But thank you. But let me say something. I want you to know how much I appreciate the military. Of course, I've served half of my life in the military. But let me tell you something. I hope you get this right. Do not let the military be the first place your children learn to fight. Did you get that? Do not let the military be the very first place your child learns to fight. Oh, you got to stay with me on this one. If you don't stay with me on this one, you're going to miss it. I got a question for you. Do you want to fight? I'll ask it again for some who didn't get it. Do you want to fight? Very interesting story. We kind of covered it last time. I want you to turn there. Matthew 26, 52 and 53. We talked about it during the communion when Judas kissed Jesus to point him out so that the soldiers could take him. He betrayed Jesus. We talked about that. Let me show you something. This is a fascinating passage. Matthew chapter 26. I want you to turn it. Don't miss this. Matthew chapter 26 and verses 52 and 53. And let me read it while you're turning there. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword." Now look at this. "Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" Want to fight? Jesus says, if you want to fight, let me tell you something. I can supply right instantly as I pray 12 legions of angels. 72,000 angels right now. Want to fight? One angel slew 185,000. One single angel. I can provide 72,000 instantly. But I'm not going to do it. I like the passage that follows it. It says, "How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" I could do it, but I'm not. Because I got something to do. There's something that I am passionate about. Guess what it is? It's saving you and me. God, isn't that something? I can do it, but I'm not. Because I got a mission to save you and I. To save us. Let me tell you something. Teaching our children to fight, I'm going to have to tell you what I'm talking about. I'm really not talking about fighting. We ought to teach our children to be passionate. In fact, I will go on to say, the next time you think about fighting, I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I willing to die for this? The next time you want to fight, ask yourself, am I willing to die for this? You know, some hills are not worth dying on. And four, you know, if I wanted to, I could fight a lot more in Fallbrook. But it's really not worth it. Have you discovered that? But there are some things worth fighting for and dying for. Teach your children to find that. What is their passion? What is it that is burning inside of them that they can't get out unless they do it? What What is it? Teach our children to have passion for that. One book that I had to read while going to school was a book entitled Real Power by Janet Hagberg. It's a classic, hard to find. She talks about the issue of passion and how we work every day, but we are not working. You know, we want more in our lives than just working and earning money. We want to matter. And we have to make sure our children get that. That there's something they're doing in life that matters. You have to give them that passion, and maybe they have it already. And you know what we found out about passion? It comes in a strange way. Sometimes it comes out of difficulty. Some things hit us negatively and hard, even in our childhood. And you know, some children take that thing and turn it around and become passionate about that and turn the world upside down. I want to read this. She says, passion is the relentless pursuit of those life-enhancing activities or experience that give our souls meaning. Oh, how we need our children to have passion. Passion. Sometimes it comes out of negative things. Sometimes we've experienced some of the things that I'm talking about. When Mary lost her 8-year-old son to leukemia, during her grieving process, she felt that she could give something to other families. Became a volunteer and helped the work just spread based on her own needs. A minister who was responding to a famine in Africa and tried to give gifts of food and to build wells. But as he traveled to Africa, he was so deeply touched by the spirit of the people that he took a team and a team and a team and went back to Africa and helped and dedicated his life to that. Or a mother who grieved for her daughter's death at the hands of a drunk driver, and she turned her anger into action and she started an organization called MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. You can take the negative and become passionate about it. And if we would let Jesus get a hold of our children, and we would not squash the passion out of them, we would see an absolute revolution in this church. Been following loosely and I'm fascinated by a wealthy Irish rock star. He was the leader of a group entitled U2. And I'll be very honest, I have no idea what their music even sounds like. But I've been fascinated by him as a leader. An Irish rock star who sometimes wears a cowboy hat, who in October met with President Bush so that they can work out how they can help AIDS and poor families in Africa. How did that happen? Where did he get the passion from? So much passion, so much desire for that, that he got Motorola to donate 5% of their proceeds from one of their phones to AIDS in Africa. That's just one endeavor. Where did he get that from? Fascinated by that. Encouraged by that. Oh, if we would let the Lord use us, what would we accomplish in His name? It's time to revolutionize this church. Not squash the passion out. We need to teach our children to fight. We need to teach our children to fight. What cause is worth fighting for? What things do they see that's not fair, that they have a passion for, that they can get involved in? Oh, there's so many in this world. My prayer is that we would be that kind of church, that we would inspire our children they would put on the whole armor of God. Because the fight is only just begun for His kingdom. I don't know about you. I'm thankful for the fighters of faith that we're going to grow here at Fallbrook. Amen. I know you're going to inspire them. I know you're not going to shut down their passion. I believe that the Lord has great people in this church that are going to do great things for His kingdom. Because the enemy is coming with a storm. Teach our children to fight. Did you get my message? My prayer is that you will through the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes, Lord, we spend a lot of time fighting each other instead of the things that we should be fighting for. That's the devil's trick. Lord, help us not to fall for it. Lord, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from us. But Lord, that's not quoting it right, and sometimes we quote it that way. It says, submit to God. And then resist the devil. And then he will flee. Lord, it's time for us to submit ourselves to you. Then we can do great exploits. Then our passion, whatever that is, can come out. And we can make a difference where we are. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify your holy name. And in all the victory, we will be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.